Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ray Allen. Ray producing and engineering our show on the other side of the glass. Our midweek edition early in March, March 2nd, 2016. And we're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. But you don't need to be by a radio these days to hear the radio. If you're by a computer, you can live stream the show at buckmastershow.com. That's my website where we kick you over to kvoi.com. On my website, we've got all of our podcasts and pretty much our show archive since we began the project over 5 years ago, and you can check out that on your leisure 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. We get things rolling with our monthly showdown, certainly very timely today, the day after Super Tuesday. At 12:30, we'll talk about the critical care issues facing our friends who live outside of the three major cities in Tucson, Phoenix, and Flagstaff, and this radio station has great reach, and many of you are listening in the so-called rural areas, and healthcare is a big issue. We're going to talk about that at 12:30, then at 12:45, previewing the March lineup for what has turned out to be a very successful series, the What If series at Biosphere 2. We'll hear all about that. This is an interactive radio show. That means it's your turn at 790-2040. That is our live line number. Take your calls, comments. If you have suggestions, we'll hear what you have on your mind on this day after Super Tuesday. And we invite you to become a friend of ours on Facebook. It's under my name, the account, Bill Buckmaster, so that's easy to find. And we try to do the Twitter thing at Buckmaster Show. Our monthly showdown, it's the first Wednesday of each month that we bring these two gentlemen together. Seated to the right of me, Sean McCluskey. Sean, one of the original Tucson Tea Party activists. Can I call you a charter member, Sean?
I was, you know, I was there, but I wasn't instrumental in starting
it. Oh, all right. Sean has been a Republican Party activist for a long time here, and he now has his own talk show. But his participation here on the showdown predates the talk show. The talk show is 9 to 10. It's called Talk of the Town. He's doing very well with his program. And seated to the left of me, avowed leftist, David Morales. David is the creator and publisher of the Three Sonorans blog site. David and Sean, how are you guys?
Doing good. Doing well. Thanks for having us.
Did you think, Sean, were there any surprises? People are saying, well, it's pretty much over with Trump. He's the preemptive nominee. Is he?
It's not over yet. It's still undecided. He does have all the momentum right now. He appears to be, but he loses states. If he was going to sweep everything, he would have swept last night and taken 11 of the 12 that were available.
I mean, look at the delegates. He's still not that big a lead in the delegates, about 100 delegates more than Cruz, because, of course, Cruz won Texas, which was delegate rich.
Correct. And you need 1,237, I believe it is, to become the nominee. And if you don't get there, you'll get there. But right now, nobody's close enough to get there.
And David's guy, Feel the Burn, Bernie Sanders, he picked up a few states yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, just a few months ago, he was polling, single digits, and he pulled four states yesterday. He's almost tied in Massachusetts. And, the thing is that he's on an upward momentum, which is important. So, I think as the election goes on, we've only had, 15 states vote so far. So I think he's going to win more and more as time goes on.
David, David and Sean, we've talked about race. We talk about race a lot on this program. It's one of the few radio shows in town that regularly addresses the race issue. Is race at the top of the – is it kind of at the forefront, David, now in this presidential race?
I mean, definitely. I think this is why Donald Trump is doing so well right now, because if you think about it, what exactly is his policy? What exactly do people say when they support him? And they say, well, he tells it the way it is. He tells the truth. So, but what they really mean is, he tells the truth about how Mexicans are rapists, how Muslims should be banned, about a lot of people have talked about this, but I think it's very, very telling that on Sunday he refused to disavow the KKK, and he actually even said, like, I don't know. what kind of president is going to take on terrorism if they don't even know who the Ku Klux Klan is?
No. It's a great point. However, you keep mentioning race. It's not about race. It's about insults. He's insulting people, and it turns out people in the polls. We talked about our pregame. The numbers are astonishing. From 2008 to 2014, more people are turning out. And if he was all about race, instead of saying it's about Merry Christmas, I want to bring back Merry Christmas, as he stated in his speech in Alabama, in front of what I would call a bunch of redneck Republicans, and I'm not going to label them any which way or color because the crowd was diverse and mixed, kind of like a NASCAR fan. You don't know what you're going to get, but everybody assumes it's a white crowd, but it wasn't. So what he said there was, let's bring back Merry Christmas. Insulting to some who aren't Christian, but to those who are Christian, they remember a time in the 1950s when everybody said Merry Christmas. We didn't say Happy Holidays. He is defuncting political correctness, if you will, and that's why he's so popular.
I think when people talk about political correctness, it's another way of saying they're racist. And, you know, I was listening
How is Merry Christmas racist?
Well, let me give you some examples. For example, last week on your Monday showdown, you had Bruce Ash, and you asked him about George Washington. And the first thing he says is, well, there's people out there who are politically correct, and they won't like him. And, you know, so what that means is, you know, he was a slave owner, and mentioning the fact about their racist, owning a slave, whipping them, taking them away from their family and stuff is horrible. And the fact that
it was 180 years ago. Nobody's owned a slave in the last 20 years.
The fact that we cannot address that or we're just being politically correct.
Why are we
correct?
Addressing slavery? It's over.
Because the thing is, we can't talk about racism in this country. So what I'm saying in terms of George Washington, all we can talk about is, oh, he was the founder of the nation. He was this and that. But you can't mention the facts about the way he was unless you're politically correct. So nowadays, we're trying to mention racism today. Like, you're saying he's just insulting people. I mean, he talked about all Mexican people.
Politically correct and start being factual. The facts are he cut down a cherry tree. He was a president and he owned slaves. Move on.
He actually didn't cut
down
a cherry tree.
Quit being so sympathetic and quit. You know, put your feelings away for once. That's what Trump's all about. He doesn't care about your feelings. He gives you reality and he comes out and he insults you.
What facts has he said?
And he
that all Mexicans are rapists? That's a fact?
No, that's an insult. Get him straight.
He's running for president of the United States, and he says that they're rapists.
Look at the turnout numbers.
Sean, you worked for Mr. Trump. You worked for Mr. Trump. Do you see a different Trump right now than the guy that you worked for? I don't know how many years ago it was.
Looking 1992, so it's been a couple of years. But he's a little more aggressive now.
A little more.
A little more over the top, a little more abrasive. But he's also a showman, and he's playing to the crowd. If you look at it for him, this is a publicity rock star tour for him. That's all it is. For Ben Carson, it's a book tour. For this guy, for Trump, it's all about how much attention can I get. He's gotten so much free press by saying the craziest things. They don't affect him. They just bring up his numbers. And like you said 3 days ago, he didn't know who the KKK was. It's been 3 days. Did we see any catastrophic backlash from it? No, we didn't.
Because that's the secret in this country. It's that people are so mad at having a black president for the last 8 years that they just want.
Wow.
It's true.
And we're going there.
A caller just said here, Charles called to you, David, if you can't talk about race, aren't you talking about race right now on the Buckmaster Show?
Yeah, and what did Bill say earlier? That this is the only place where you can talk about race because otherwise we're being politically correct. We're talking about, you know, things going on in this state and in this country.
Hold on a second. Now, if it's about race and it's about color, then how come the Hispanics aren't showing up to vote? How come the blacks aren't showing up to vote? And this is apparent by last. What do I mean by that? Let's look at this. Okay, so if everybody were to show up last night that showed up in 2008 in Georgia, Massachusetts in the north, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Vermont, Virginia, very well deep south states. I agree with you. Yeah, the Vermont's really in the deep.
There's all kinds of Mexicans in Vermont.
But the fact that the GOP turned out at 35%, 25%, 21%, 63%, 57%, and 100% more voters yesterday than it did the exact same time 8 years previous, and the Democrats conversely turned out less than 32%, minus 5%, minus 22%, minus 40%, minus 13%, minus 14%. Where are your Hispanic voters? Where are your black voters?
If the race
voters are supposed to vote for the Dems, how come they're not showing
because
up?
Because you're talking about the South here. The Southern.
Vermont and Massachusetts are not the South.
There's no Mexicans in Vermont.
All right.
Really?
We have a full board here of folks that want to talk. Tom's going to go off topic here, and Tom's been waiting. Tom, you're concerned about the city budget?
Yes, I would like to know if the SunTran bus fare was doubled, would that balance the city budget?
I don't know.
I don't believe so.
I think that'd be a real stretch to make.
Oh, you'd never get it across the council, so it's irrelevant.
Yeah, to double.
Karen would kill it. Rahina would kill it, and Fimbres and or Shirley Scott would vote against it.
Because it's a $25 million deficit right now, and doubling the Sunfare thing wouldn't put it.
I would say no. That's
no.
The answer.
Jim has been waiting. Hey, Jim Kelly, with us. Go ahead, Jim. Before we take our break.
Well, I think where everybody's kind of not getting the point here on Trump is, his numbers aren't going up. They're staying flat. They're flat between 27 and 30% of Republican voters. That's it. And unfortunately, that wins some states, particularly the open primary states. Closed primary states, Trump doesn't win. So the only way he wins is if his numbers are bumped by non-traditional Republican voters voting in Republican primaries. That's the only way he's winning these states. And people need to keep that in mind. His numbers are flat between 27 and 30%, no matter where he goes, no matter what state he goes into. Unfortunately, it's enough to win some states. So don't put any hope on Donald Trump.
All right.
I think what Donald Trump is doing, okay, maybe he himself is not a KKK member or anything like that, but his supporters are using his campaign as a rallying cry. For example, there was this basketball game where a mostly white team was playing a diverse team. And what did they do? They started yelling, Trump, 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 Trump. You start having white supremacists showing up at his rallies. You start having the KKK coming out in massive support. So that's the danger. And if he doesn't even want to disavow them,
all right. We have some news breaking here. Mr. Carson, Dr. Ben Carson, issuing a statement. This is on Politico, issuing a statement saying he sees no path forward for his campaign. He will skip the GOP debate in his hometown of Detroit, and that's tomorrow, that debate. So it looks like he's going to be stepping aside. So we'll see where Mr. Carson's support goes at this point. This is the Monday, I almost said the Monday face-off. No, it is our monthly showdown with David Morales and Sean McCluskey. This portion presented by Green Things for all of your gardening supplies. They've got, well, it started at 4 acres over on River. They're up to 13 acres, 3384 East River Road, just west of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Sean, do you ever do any gardening?
I do, but I don't do it outdoors.
Oh, indoor gardening.
I grow my peppers inside.
Okay, how about you, David?
Yeah, I do gardening.
All right, well, the place to go is Green Things, 3384 East River Road. GreenThingsAZ.com. I get all of my roses there, and if you can't find it there with 33 greenhouses, you probably won't find it anywhere in town. Thank you, Green Things, one of our new supporters here on the Buckmaster Show. The monthly showdown continues right after this. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
You're invited to the 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards on May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. We'll be announcing the winners of this year's awards in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. Our keynote speaker is Congresswoman Martha McSally. Join us as we celebrate Tucson's business community. It is the business event of the year. Register now at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our monthly showdown. Sean McCluskey to the right of me, David Morales to the left of me. We've got so much to cover, and I've only got about 8 minutes to do it. 790-2040. The first thing I want to cover with Sean and David. Sean, is this, and the way we are hearing it from the GOP establishment, you're having senators say they're not going to support Trump. You kind of see that this is kind of the fracturing of the Republican Party. Are we going to see a split, perhaps a third party?
Well, there's already a third party candidate running. His name is Gary Johnson. He ran 4 years ago when everybody said no way to Mitt Romney. The libertarian sect of the Republican Party went to Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson had traction, had credit. You'll see libertarians now online saying, hey, you know, let's look at Trump instead. He's got a shot to win. He's the right guy, right mindset, business, you know, get government out of my life, that kind of thing. Does it affect anybody going down ticket? No. By the numbers and the turnout, if you get Trump as the nominee, I don't think it has a hill of beans to do with anybody down ticket. If it's from supervisor down to dog catcher, it doesn't matter. It will transpire throughout, and you'll have Republicans sweeping. The thing that concerns me is, or it doesn't concern me, but it should concern the Democrats, is the low turnout on the Democratic tickets. With the low turnout, you're going to lose every seat in Pima County. Thank God.
Well, I mean, I think one thing that's interesting is we were discussing earlier how if you do a search on the news sites, you never really hear the word the term Tea Party anymore. And it seems to me like the Tea Party movement has kind of taken over the Republican Party to the point where you don't even need to call yourself Tea Party anymore, because it is the Republican Party now. And now you have this establishment versus, maybe you can call it the Trump Party now, but you know, you have this fracturing of. I mean, this is the thing that gets me is how can anyone accept, you know, flat out the things that Donald Trump has said about different people like Mexicans and Muslims? And, It's not acceptable in this country. You know, it's not acceptable to say that. It's not acceptable to say you're going to bring back waterboarding and torturing and go after the families of terrorists and kill them. This is ridiculous.
Didn't affect him. Didn't even slow him down.
You're missing the point here.
The Trump train ran you over.
Here's the thing, Sean. You can't approach politics like a ASU U of A game. Like, oh, my team won and ha ha. All of us have to
tell
deal
the Democrats
with the,
that because
all
right
of us
now.
Have to deal with the consequences of who the leader is. Okay. And you can't just say, well, Trump is winning, so he must be doing something right. No, it's absolutely wrong. It's something – he's tapping into
What's
this.
What's he doing right? Business practices, saying he wants to get limited government, get government out of your life, reduce the size of government. He wants to get rid of the establishment Republicans that are
big money
spending.
What does that mean?
Like,
give me one specific example of what
really?
He wants to do.
Lindsey Graham needs to go away. That's one example.
What?
He's against John McCain. There's another example.
Give me one big policy that Donald Trump has.
Like, well, I don't think he has any policy.
Exactly. But what he does is he says the right things. He says the right things that people will not want to hear about those people, about the Mexicans, about the Muslims. He wants
to
build a wall.
Or he says a statement like, I'm a numbers guy. I'm going to go through and I'm going to audit every department and I'm going to find the fraud, waste, and abuse and I'm going to reduce the size of government. He said those words, not me, him. He's a business guy.
That's
he's
not
a
why
number
people support
guy.
Him. People don't support him because of that.
They support him because he's a racist. Go ahead and
yes,
say it.
Yes, it is true. Every time he says these things, his popularity, you know, it just skyrockets, right? Do you think really, like...
Voters are not beholden to their color of their skin. Everybody can vote. The blacks aren't showing up.
This is a
the
country.
The Hispanics aren't showing up. The whites aren't showing up in the Democratic arena.
Will they
but
show
they
up
are
in the
showing
general
up,
election
but
to
they
vote
are
against
showing
Donald
up.
Trump? Will they?
No,
that will be
they're
the
not
big
showing
question.
Up now because they know they're going to get run over.
Chuck has been waiting at 790-2040, and Chuck also wants to go off topic and back to the city. That's fine. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, I'd like to just focus our attention on the mayor's State of the City address yesterday.
Okay.
And from what I'm hearing, the way they expect to dig their way out of this hole is to just tax the heck out of us every way they possibly can. And, you know, there's only so much blood we can give. And I've run out of it, so I'm not going to vote for this at all. I'd just like to hear your comments on this.
Okay.
Well, if you follow Steve Kozacek's newsletter, there are a list of taxes that are in there. They're going to come to the voters with a half-cent sales tax. They're going to see if they can put it directly to one of the core services, either parks and or to the police. It's $43 to $47 million that'll come in with a half-cent sales tax. It'll go to the voters, and I'll adamantly oppose it.
I think when you have the cuts from the state level, then you end up with the local, you know, having to raise their own taxes, right?
Blame it on the state again.
Noam Chomsky, the renowned scholar and MIT professor emeritus and darling of the left, David Morales, has been saying that part of the whole Donald Trump phenomenon is that he is winning because white America is dying. You agree with that?
I think, you know, the 2010 election in Arizona was very telling also. You had Jan Brewer, who was way down in the polls, and as soon as SB 1070 was passed— she shot up and she became, you know, she got reelected, right? There's this fear amongst people. Now, if you do an actual history of the United States, you'll realize that the majority of our history is racist, from slavery to segregation. The Civil Rights Act was just passed not that long ago, within some people's lifetimes, and people have not gotten used to the new way. And so you have this old way of people thinking, look, you know, the majority in Arizona now, the babies being born are Latino. In California, Latinos are already a majority. There's this fear, and you know, when Obama first got elected, there was this fear of white slavery and stuff. There's this fear that maybe the new minority that takes over is going to treat them like they treated us, which isn't true. But the thing is, there's this fear. There's this fear that instead of educating the students, we need to build more prisons to lock them away because I'm scared of them. We need to... You know,
so you're saying a lot of this is based, that his appeal is based on fear.
The future of America is going to be the rebranding of America.
Go ahead, Sean McCluskey.
It's simple. The millennials now outnumber the boomers. And if you are, your older people are dying off, so your racist faction, as you call it, old white America, is no longer the prevalent voting bloc. What is turning out the vote is Trump in droves. Everybody of every color is eligible to vote. I don't care what color you are. You still have that same voting right.
And it's personality driven.
The fact that you're unwilling to come out and vote is up to you
as
an individual. So like I said, it doesn't matter what color you are. It matters who's coming out to
you
vote.
You got to remember, Donald Trump's popularity is only within the Republican
All
Party.
All right, let's go to the live line. Ingrid, you are first. Please keep it very, very tight. And then Richard, we'll get to you. Last call of the showdown. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Okay. So many Mexican Americans are complaining about the how the United States is comprised and claiming that it's their territory, that it's Mexico's. I'd like to see those people go to the other side of the border and really declare war from there. They're making our community very uncomfortable. I'll hang up. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ingrid. David, you don't want to respond to Ingrid at all?
Well, I mean, this was Mexico and this was Native America, and so.
It's not now. We don't own slaves either, so move forward. Quit looking behind you.
All right, Richard is up next.
You got to deal with the effects of the past.
Hello, Richard.
Yes, Bill. You know, part of the reason that white America is allegedly angry and supporting Trump is because our jobs have been shipped out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was Bill Clinton, the Democrat, that signed NAFTA, along with a bunch of Republicans. So Hillary, Barack wants to do the TPP, but what's happened is, kids who grew up in the United States, their fathers worked in steel mills, their fathers built this country, their fathers fought World War II, World War I, and their inheritance was shipped to a slave labor nation.
Okay.
We re-embraced slavery thanks to Bill Clinton.
All right. Thank you, Richard, for weighing in on the showdown. Final few seconds of comment.
Well, one thing you'll see about me is I'm very critical of the Democrats, and I think NAFTA was bad, and I think the what Clinton did to you know, the justice system in this country was horrible for black people.
Okay, Sean?
The establishment Republicans need to get out of the way, stay out of the race, let the American people decide. That's how we vote.
The Monthly Showdown, Sean McCluskey, David Morales, will be posted to our website a little bit later this afternoon. David, you'll also have it up on Three Sonorans.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Both of you have a great rest of the week.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Coming up, talk about a very important issue. If you don't live in the city of Tucson or even close to Tucson, you're out in the rural part of Arizona. Healthcare is a huge issue. That's next on Buckmaster.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This new year opens up a world of possibilities. So how about making your vacation dreams a reality? For more than 40 years, Bon Voyage Travel has advised our clients on virtually every detail of their travel planning. Whether it's a luxury cruise, African safari, romantic beach getaway, or perhaps a journey off the beaten path, we work hard to make the most out of your investment. So all you have to do is just pack your bags. To get started, call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday for a newsmaker interview with State Representative Chris Ackerley. Also, Tucson residents are speaking out about what they want in their local parks. Buckmaster Live, noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030, The Voice, and we'll have live streaming, podcasts, and our show archive 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, a beautiful part of the southwestern United States. In that southwest corner of New Mexico, so much to do in that area. No shortage of great places to stay, like Casitas de Gila guest houses and the Continental Divide RV Park, just to name a few. It's only 3 hours east of Tucson. It would make a great weekend getaway. Just exploring historic Silver City, you're driving a bit north to visit the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, the full listing of places to stay and the many things to do on their website, southwestnewmexico.org. We're going to talk about Arizona's rural health care next here on the Buckmaster Show. The Center for Rural Health, known as CRH, at the University of Arizona Mellon Eden Zuckerman College of Public Health has been awarded a 3-year, $1.5 million federal grant to support Arizona's Medicare Rural Health Flexibility Program, which provides quality operational and performance improvement in Arizona's rural hospitals and affiliated outpatient services. With us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Dr. Dan Dirksen. Dr. Dirksen is director of the CRH and the principal investigator for the grant. Dr. Dirksen, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Good afternoon.
I want to talk a little bit about access to health care in what is commonly referred to as rural Arizona, outside of the three major cities of Tucson, Phoenix, and Flagstaff. Rural health care can be a critical issue, correct?
That's right. Probably about 80% of our population lives in those three cities that you just mentioned. And over 90% of our health providers serve those areas. So if you're outside of those metropolitan service areas, as we call them, often it's a challenge to access care.
And then what are our areas that folks can go to a hospital here in southern Arizona? Sierra Vista has a hospital, of course, but then other than driving to Tucson, there aren't many choices, are there?
Well, often what anchors a health system in a rural community is what's called a critical access hospital. Critical access hospitals are federally designated, and they have usually 25 beds or less, and they're 35 miles or more from another hospital facility. In addition to the rural critical access hospitals, there's also a network of federally qualified health centers, rural health clinics that are often affiliated with the critical access hospitals, and then, of course, the private practitioners that are in practice, that are, whether they're dentists, pharmacists, physicians, nurse practitioners, or physician assistants. So that's kind of the array of services that might be available in a rural community, but it's often anchored and stabilized by that rural hospital in the area.
Isn't staffing also a critical issue in these areas?
Recruitment and retention of health professionals is a challenge as well. And some of the programs we do at University of Arizona to try to encourage our health professions graduates to practice in areas of need in our many rural areas in Arizona are they get some of their experience and training in rural areas through the Rural Health Professions Program and other opportunities to do internships or rotations in a site. And hopefully by experiencing the site and getting to know some of the people and some of the patients they might be serving, that they're more likely to go into practice there.
How will this $1.5 million grant help to improve these rural hospitals?
Well, some of the things we do to help the rural hospitals, they have many regulations that they have to follow, and many of them these days relate to the change in how care is paid for. It used to be every time you did a fee, or every time you did a service, you were paid a fee. Every time you did an X-ray or a laboratory test, you would be paid a certain amount. More and more, the insurers, including the public insurers like Medicare and Medicaid, are moving toward payment for quality outcomes and value. So to help rural hospitals prepare for that, we bring in experts and convene meetings to help improve the quality of care, some of the best, share the best practices that some of the smaller hospitals are doing successfully in other communities, trying to help look at the fiscal assessment and determine how finances can be stabilized. But it's also informing public policy at the national level with how Medicare pays for services or doesn't pay for services, and at the state level with Medicaid. So we try to provide data, information, technical assistance, and grant support to help bring up to speed folks that may be very isolated, may not have access to all the information and resources that they need to run a successful business.
We're speaking with Dr. Dan Dirksen, Daniel Dirksen. He is the director of the Center for Rural Health based at the University of Arizona. Arizona then has 14 critical access hospitals and 21 rural clinics, health clinics. How does that, is that about where we should be for the size of a state of Arizona, or is it on the low side?
Well, in addition to those, there's over 100 federally qualified health centers that are often the primary care arm of the delivery system in a rural community, and then, of course, the private practitioners that practice there. It varies a lot between communities as far as the array of services that might be available. In one community, you may have a hospital. In another rural community, you may just have some outpatient clinics. Last summer, we lost one of our critical access hospitals in Douglas, Arizona, related to Medicare payment policies and some quality concerns, and it became the 58th rural hospital to close in this country. And when that happens, I think about 60 people lost their jobs in the community. Often you can come in and augment the health resources and access points in a community by creating urgent care that may be open extended hours on weekends and after hours. But often when you lose a hospital, that's it. It's very hard to bring it back once the doors are closed.
And once the doors are closed, those people then obviously have to find another place to go, and that means traveling probably quite a distance.
And in addition to that, Bill, it's the transport. You know, if you're on a rural highway and you get in an accident, and, you know, that extra 20, 30 miles may make the difference in someone being saved or someone being lost because of the delay in that higher level of care.
Final question. I'm going to have to wrap it up about for folks who can get access over the internet. I know a lot is being done in the rural areas, talking with a doctor in a major city. Is that? Are we seeing more and more of that?
Yeah, for sure. We're seeing an increase in the use of telemedicine, telehealth, teleradiology, in some cases, telepsychiatry. Often there's specialties that the size of the community wouldn't support a full practice in that particular specialty. So the promise of that kind of technology is we can deliver that remotely and then connect with the local physicians and providers in that community to make sure that the follow-up is done.
Dr. Dan Dirksen, thank you very much from the Center for Rural Health at the University of Arizona. Thank you for spending some time with us.
My pleasure, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. 12:45 now on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to preview what's going on at Biosphere 2. It's that What If series. Been very successful, and we'll find out what's planned for the Saturdays in March next. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you planning a party or special event? Contact Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
I'm Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books. The festival attracts over 100,000 people, 450 authors, and 250 exhibitors over a 3-day period. We work with over 30 different vendors, and it's a pleasure working with Ken and the Arizona Party Rental team. They're one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with. It's amazing how they can set up the entire U of A mall with tents, tables, and chairs everywhere in such a short period of time. It's impressive how Arizona Party Rental always comes through with a smile.
Thanks, Bruce. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Take a page from the Tucson Festival of Books. With our vast selection of tents, tables, chairs, linens, and over 50,000 items in stock, we have event solutions for any occasion. Visit our showroom on Speedway just west of Alvernon or online at arizonapartyrental.net. Quality products, exceptional selection, and outstanding service. That's Arizona Party Rental.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by the UA College of Science. With nearly 7,500 undergraduate and graduate students, the UA College of Science bringing together globally prominent faculty and disciplines at the core of scientific inquiry and education. Find out more at cos.arizona.edu, UA Science and Innovation, a place of discovery. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Kevin Bonine, the Director of Education and Outreach at Biosphere 2, the University of Arizona Biosphere 2. He's also Director of Outreach Initiative at the UA College of Science. Kevin, good to see you. So much going on this month of March.
Indeed. Great to see you. And yes, it is a busy month. Lots of folks in town on top of that.
Biosphere 2 continuing the new series that started this season. It's special Saturday events running through May. Each week, meet new scientists and learn about their innovative work at Biosphere 2. And these are special talks, Kevin, that occur for each tour starting between 12 and 2 on Saturday. So this is kind of an added value. Folks may not be coming out specifically for the What If series, as it's called, but they're finding out about it, and it's an added value for their tour.
That's exactly right. And these are fantastic experts that are coming out and talking about their work. They're giving kind of a short little TED Talk overview, and then they're available for a couple hours to interact informally with visitors who want to ask questions and touch their pieces of equipment and other hands-on demonstrations. It works out really well and hits a sweet spot that's different than the hour-long lectures that we offer in different venues, for example, Centennial Hall or some of the science cafes downtown.
Yeah, those have been so successful that this is a little different because it's not really a sit-down kind of formal thing. This is a real chance to interact with these world-renowned scientists, and each month, What If series has a different theme. This time in March, the theme will be?
The theme in March is engineering and design. We just wrapped up Earth Transformed and talked a fair bit about climate change, but engineering and design, Biosphere 2, is such an iconic example of putting your mind to a creative use and coming up with new ways to build things and think about closed systems and research. It's just a fantastic opportunity to showcase not only what's happening at Biosphere 2, but in the broader U of A community.
This Saturday, March 5th, noon to 2, the topic will be what if farming could be done vertically? And of course, we think of farming being done horizontally,
<That's>
traditionally, right?
That's right.
You don't think of stacking up fields in a big tower.
Well, you know, out in the broad acreage of Iowa, maybe vertical farming is a little bit challenging. But
yes,
when you start thinking about urban areas and tight control and very efficient systems, you know, producing tomatoes or whatever food product it might be, vertical farming and some of the new technologies and the engineering involved, as well as sort of the science and the know-how that you need to do these closed systems sort of approaches. The vertical farming is really a neat thing that a lot of people are talking about.
Dr. Joel, is it Quayle?
Quayle.
Quayle is going to be the presenter.
Right. He's from University of Arizona Agricultural and Biosystems Engineering and also the Bio5 Institute.
Then we're going to talk about on Saturday, March 12th, what if we could build landscapes in a bottle? I think when I hear that, I think about a ship being built in a bottle, but put a whole landscape? Interesting.
Well, we have an analogy. So Alan Ortega is one of the engineers with M3 Engineering, and they helped build our giant Landscape Evolution Observatory hill slopes under the glass inside Biosphere 2, where the biospherians in the 90s grew their food. And to be honest, they brought all the pieces for these giant hill slopes through a door 10 feet by 15 feet. And these hill slopes They weigh, you know, many, many tons, especially when you add the water to it. And they're 11 meters by 30 meters. So they are gigantic. And there's three of them in this space. And they really did build these things in a bottle.
So Biosphere 2 is kind of like that, building the ship in the bottle, wasn't it?
If you want, especially after it's built and you want to put something new inside of it, that's exactly right. So Alan and his team were fantastic.
Then we've got if asteroid samples reveal clues to our solar system's origin. This is going to be a fascinating Saturday, March 19th event at noon.
So Dolores Hill with the Arizona Lunar and Planetary Lab, she's actually the 2013 recipient of one of the White House Citizen Science Champions for Change Awards. And she's part of the OSIRIS-REx team that is sending a spacecraft up to take a sample of an asteroid named Bennu. The launch is scheduled for September of this year, and they're going to bring that sample back and hopefully learn more about the origins of our solar system.
On March 26, what if we could construct resilient built environments?
Meredith Sattler will be with us at the end of March. She's from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and she's actually done a lot of research on the architecture of Biosphere 2 and where it fits into the broader sort of scheme of architectural trends around the world. But she's really interested in how do we build buildings and cities such that they can be more resilient, more sustainable, and be lighter on the environment.
And of course, these are going to be great events coming up on Saturdays in March, but we've got the Tucson Festival of Books, which will be coming up. This has turned into a huge event for Tucson, Kevin, and the UA College of Science is going to have a major presence this year.
The College of Science and other partners on campus, we have the City of Science, or Science City, as part of the Tucson Festival of Books. And from what I understand, this is now the fourth largest festival of its kind in the country. And we get hundreds of thousands of folks coming through and authors from all over the world coming to give presentations. And, obviously the theme is literacy and excitement and getting families engaged. And Biosphere 2 will have a table and a whole bunch of other groups will as well. Lots of hands-on opportunities to learn and experience.
And it gets real personal for you. There's a book signing that is very much connected to your work.
Yeah, we were talking about that before. Yeah. There's a pair of authors, Mary Kay Carson and her husband Tom Ullman. They did a book about research in the national parks that includes some of my work on Gila monsters and other work on saguaros. It's the centennial of the National Park Service, so that's a big deal this year. And then the other book that they wrote is geared for middle school students, and it's about Biosphere 2 and the research that we do. So it's a great opportunity to have them out, talk with them. They're going to come up to Biosphere 2 on Friday the 11th and do a book signing, but then obviously they'll be around on campus for Festival of Books on Saturday.
Yeah, the centennial, the National Park System, a very big deal. And if I could put a quick plug in, I'm going to be hosting a ticketed event at the Book Festival. Saturday morning at the festival, a week from Saturday at 10:30, I'll be interviewing a one-on-one interview for an hour with the very famous historian Douglas Brinkley, who has written a couple of books now about the Roosevelts, first Teddy Roosevelt, then FDR, and the New Deal, and how all of that, the Conservation Corps and the Roosevelts' connection to really making this a very environmental-sensitive nation in the 20th century.
Right, and I think that legacy persists. And, just last night we had a fantastic event downtown that was a collaboration between Saguaro National Park and the College of Science, talking about the legacy of the park that's right in our backyard, as well as the science that's been facilitated by the partnerships with the U of A. And it was actually U of A president, Homer Shantz, who helped to get Saguaro National Monument at the time established back in the 30s.
Yeah, I think they celebrated an anniversary then, the Saguaro National Monument, right?
They did, yesterday, March 1st.
Very
cool. That's exactly
right.
I think 83 years, and obviously the centennial of the Park Service itself.
All right, so we have many listeners who are out here perhaps just for the season. What are the nuts and bolts about Biosphere 2? Perhaps they've heard about it and they want to visit. Tell us a little bit about the specifics.
I think the easiest way to learn more is to go to our website, biosphere2.org. We have tours every day. The only days we're closed are Thanksgiving and Christmas, so obviously not an issue this time of year. Our What If events are happening on Saturdays, middle of the day. Really a lot of added value with some amazing experts talking about their research and the future of our planet.
Yeah, and then when you purchase your ticket to take the tour, this is the added value. There is no extra money that is required for the What If series.
That's exactly
so
right.
So once you're in the door, this is part of enhancing your experience there.
That's right. Yeah. And we've had quite a few people buy memberships so that they can come back and visit with other experts either that same month or different months if they like the theme that's upcoming, for example, in April or May. That might be a nice option for folks too.
All right. Dr. Kevin Bonine, thank you very much, Kevin, for the work you do at Biosphere 2, a great resource for us here in Southern Arizona.
Thanks so much.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, we do more local talk, 4 to 5. Mike Shaw is the host of 4 Tucson at 4. Then we do 6 hours. Well, Mike's show is part of our 6 hours daily of local talk. More than any other Tucson talk station, we do 6 to 8 in the morning, Wake Up Tucson, the daily double. Chris DeSimone and a different guest host from 8 to 9. Sean McCluskey, 9 to 10 with his Talk of the Town program. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you on Thursday for the Buckmaster Show. And tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, we'll speak with State Representative Chris Ackerley. We're going to talk a little sports with AG Anthony Germano, talking about the Wildcats basketball, where they perhaps will be seeded in the upcoming tournament. Then one of our contributors, Don Luce, the Buckmaster Show attorney, talking about legal affairs. It's a full show, as usual, from noon to one during the week right here on KVOI. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen. We wish you a great afternoon and evening.